then. Podcast episode numero uno. Crime and Tea. All right. Hey, guys. What's up? And welcome to Crime and Tea. My name's Crystal. I'll be your lovely host for today. Also joining me today is my lovely boyfriend, Ron.
Hello.
He's not a regular staple, but he'll be here often enough. Here at Crime and Tea, we are going to get comfy and cozy with a cup of tea, coffee, or whatever suits your fancy while we listen to some interesting, cool, creepy, and crazy stories from all over the globe. Today, we will have a story from Mexico to start this journey, so get cozy and let's jump on into it. All right. It all started on Christmas Day of 1985 at the Museum of Anthropology in Mexico City. 140 invaluable items were thought to be stolen from the historic museum in the biggest heist of Mexican culture. However, it was later determined to be 124 items that had been looted, which really showed the lack of records associated with the museum's inventory.
So who was responsible for keeping records?
So that I couldn't find, but I was assuming that it was the director of the museum at the time. It didn't really directly say who was in charge of that portion
not,
of things.
They're just not going to place the blame on.
Yeah. Pretty much. We're like, you may did it. Maybe it was me. Maybe it was somebody else. I don't know. It was just lack of just evidence keeping and everything. All of this. Just all of it. All right. So just to list off a few of the items that were stolen. We have the items from the Sacred Cenote of Chichen Itza. Of Chichen Itza, which was a large pre-Columbian city built by the Maya people. From the tome of the most famous ruler of Palenque, the ruler's name is Palenque Kinich Janab Pakal. There we go. I tried really hard there. Okay,
okay,
you come over here and try.
You tried harder than me keeping records on
the
museum.
I'm working on it. Also known as the as Pascal the Great. Almost all of the original offerings were stolen from the tomb. Most of the gold objects were taken from the Sala Mixteca. The famous mask of the Bat God was stolen from the Zapotec civilization from the Monte Alban ruins in southern Mexico. One of the last of the bigger items was the Aztec obsidian sculpture of a mono, which just refers to monkey, from the city of Texcoco.
So how big was some of this stuff? Because
the mask
is 124.
Well, I'm actually going to link a couple of the pictures into everything. So everybody will be able to like see that and go to those links. But
okay.
For general reference, I mean, the mask itself, I mean, it's a large like mask. It's full sculptured out. Like,
okay.
It's stone. It's a stone mask.
I understand that it's a stone mask, but how the hell do you get out with 124 items?
Well, you see, I don't know. No, I mean I don't want to get into that too quick, but
okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, the items were mostly smaller items. There were a few of the larger pieces, though, that I'm assuming that they probably went and thought at first, and then when they got the bulkier items, they probably went in and were like, all right, let's stick all the small stuff that we can fit in here next. All right. Ba-da-da-da-da. So the actual theft was not discovered till 8 a.m. on December 25th when the change in shift occurred. The guards that were on duty that night decided to do their own bit of Christmas celebration. The 9 guards that were on duty that day were supposed to do rounds across the museum every hour on the hour. However, the guards ended up all congregating in a singular location as they enjoyed cookies and alcoholic beverages, which were noted by alcohol residue in glasses at the museum. They were having a drunk Christmas party because, you know, who doesn't have a drunk Christmas party when they're supposed to be watching a museum with, you know, priceless,
you know,
invaluable objects in it?
Office parties all over the world.
No big deal. No big deal. Gosh. Probably kicking themselves so hard after this.
If I'm one of them security guards, I'm just saying, prove to me that was actually here, guys.
I have no idea what was here. You just told me to come in here and watch. I didn't see anybody. You can't prove it. Not to mention that, oh so conveniently, the museum's alarm system wasn't working this day either. Ha, ha, ha.
This sounds like an inside job all around.
I know, but it wasn't.
They brought
it wasn't.
The alcohol all to the guards, that way they knew where they were.
I mean, you know, you never know. Okay. People do some weird things. The curator of the museum was distraught and stated that the theft was a national tragedy. Quoted, "The thieves robbed a piece of our history. How can we put a price on it?" It was said that trying to get rid of these pieces was like trying to fence the Mona Lisa, as stated by the director of collections of the Los Angeles County Museum of Natural History. Another former art dealer said that no reputable dealer would think to go near the stolen items. There was also a lot of concern about the items in general. They were worried that the thieves would panic in seeing they were unable to sell the pieces and they may be destroyed. Mexican officials initially thought the heist was done by professionals, even concluding that it could potentially have been KGB agents. Because, you know, back then that was, you know, the thing. KGB was doing it. Yep. Everything was KGB's fault. They assumed the items would have been immediately exported for sale to the U.S. or other foreign countries. The president of Mexico at the time, Miguel de la Madrid, ordered an investigation and requested the help of Interpol, International Crime Police Organization. Experts and criminologists from the Attorney General's office also collected evidence from the scene. The guards were also detained, as it was originally unclear whether or not the guards were in on it. It was realized shortly thereafter that they, in fact, had nothing to do with it. There was even a 50 million peso reward offered at the time by the Association of Friends of the National Museum of Anthropology for any information on the case. Unfortunately, the police were unable to find any clues or the slightest of information regarding the stolen goods. Which just, I don't understand how you can't find any drop of information. Just crazy to me.
Hey, the alarm system was shut down.
It was a hot mess. It was a hot freaking mess. Like, what were you doing? You're just like, yeah, we're storing these for you. This is not secure. We're just storage, okay? We didn't say anything about securely stored. Yeah, right? It would be several years before any information on the whereabouts of the items would surface. It was also a very peculiar instance in which new information was acquired. January 1st, 1989, officers of the PJF, which is the Federal Judicial Police, arrested well-known drug trafficker Salvador Gutierrez, also known as El Cabo. He was working with another trafficker from Acapulco, Jose Ramon Serrano. Serrano told Gutierrez that he met two guys through the cocaine trafficking network that said that they had the stolen goods and were looking to sell them. He was talking about Carlos Purchase and Ramon Sardina, who at this point were also drug traffickers. They had made a small deal with Gutierrez for several pieces for an undisclosed amount of cocaine, but they never settled on an agreement for the whole lot. There was a brief mention of the sum of $1 billion, but no deal came to fruition. So for 45 days, what, $1
billion? No, you went from selling cocaine to
Well, they weren't even selling cocaine. They weren't doing anything. They were just average Joes that were like, hey, we could totally do this, dude. We could totally do this. Let's do this. And they did it. Like, it's the most ridiculous thing ever. So for 45 days, federal agents trailed Purchase, who returned with the artifacts to Mexico. He was then arrested upon his return. So who are the guys? Blah, 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 blah. So who are these guys and how do they do it? Well, at the time of the heist back in 1985, the two men were veterinary students. They had decided to drop out at some point. Not sure if it was before or after the heist. It never really explained to me when that happened. It just stated that they were veterinary students. So that was the only solid information there. They planned all this out, and with little trouble moving through the steps once they got started, they moved on with things. So long before... Or so they thought. And then it failed miserably. it wasn't even worth it. Wasn't worth it. Never worth it. So long before Christmas Eve, the two men had been fascinated with the pieces at the museum. In the 6 months leading up to the theft, they visited the museum upwards of 50 times or more. They also took pictures of all the exhibit items, as well as made inquiries into the monetary value of most of the items. The display cases were studied in detail, and they also figured out what the guards' shifts were and what they did on their shifts. So they were very, very thoroughly prepared for what they were doing, more prepared than they probably even needed to be with the way that security was set up there. This all led up to the heist on Christmas Eve of 1985. The two men celebrated the holiday with their friends and family. They proceeded to meet up with each other. They dressed in all black, and they drove Purchase's Volkswagen over to the museum.
And nobody questioned, hey, where are y'all going on Christmas Eve?
Nope, not a word. I guess they were single, and, you know, maybe they were living on their own. I don't know. I don't even know if they were living at home. It doesn't say if they were living at home or anything like that. So, but they were adults, so, I mean, I guess their parents were just like, have fun, kids. Be good. Ha, 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 mom and dad. So once there, they were able to jump a fence that was poorly guarded, and they then proceeded to crawl into the basement or the Maya room of the museum. I found two different articles stating it was either the basement or the Maya room. I'm not sure if maybe the basement leads into the Maya room, but I wasn't sure about it. So it's one of those two locations that it brings them to. And then from there, they go through an air conditioning. They went through the air conditioning duct. They had canvas sacks to store the loot. They then went through three exhibit rooms, looted the most valuable pieces. They exited out the same way they came in, and it was said to have been completed in about 30 minutes, which is like, wow.
Crazy.
Wow. 30 minutes, and you stole 124 items. What? Right? Yeah. Yeah, they sure did. Yeah, it's crazy.
It was just armed show.
Yeah, probably. They probably weren't even trying to worry about, like, keeping things intact or any of that nonsense. They just wanted to get into the bag and get out. The two men knew how to disassemble the display cases, and there weren't any electronic alarms on the cases. Well, I think they were, like, in the works of doing that stuff in places, and I think this is why they had actually been urged, the museum had been urged, you know, like, 2 weeks prior to this to actually upgrade their security system, but the...
Just a coincidence.
The museum was like, yeah, we totally did that, guys, we took care of it, it's all good.
We put an extra guard on duty.
Yeah, they didn't really do what they were supposed to do. So anyways, they got out, drove off into their car, or drove off in the car, and nobody ever knew what happened. So afterwards, once the men saw the stir about the heist, they weren't too keen on getting rid of the items right away. So they decided they would stash the canvas bags in Purchase's closet for more than a year. They just sat in the closet. Just sat in a fucking closet. Like, what? Just...
Why?
Millions and billions of dollars worth of.
How big is your closet? Because you're putting all this stuff in there. Well, and then you add a bag of like, shoes.
Are you having company over? Like nobody goes. Like nobody accidentally is in your room.
Well, it's obviously like a bedroom closet.
Yeah, but like, come on. Okay, I guess you weren't having no relations. Nobody's snooping through your things.
Nah, you're a padlock on the door. You just say, nah, don't go in there.
Oh yeah, no, I'm nosy. I'd be like. Hey, what's in here? I'd be like tearing the whole fucking thing down. He'd come home and be like, what are you doing? What are you doing? That is the real question. Oh,
I
man. I mean, you know, anything's better than what they had on in the museum. So they stashed the bags in the closet, and then Purchase decided that he would go to Acapulco. So from what I gather, they go to Acapulco because, Acapulco is more of a, area that you would get into drug trafficking, cocaine, like just large scale drug trafficking and bad stuff.
You're bad guys.
Yeah. So that's the reason that he ended up moving over there. And, moving there, he met up with some drug traffickers in hopes of selling the artifacts. This is where we run back into Mr. Gutierrez and his eventual arrest. So Gutierrez cooperated with the police so that he was able to have a reduced sentence in the grand scheme of things. They arrested Purchase shortly thereafter, and there was a warrant put out for the arrest of Ramon Sardina as well. Although to this day, from what I could find, Sardina is still a free man, which is so odd to me. And I looked really, really hard. And, like, I don't know if there was just communication error with, like, some of the stuff being in Mexican and it being translated over. Because I know there was, like, a lot of, like... That's what I was thinking, too. That was another one of my thoughts, is that, you know, maybe he just screwed over the wrong guy and they just never found him because he's 6 feet under. And, well... That's just too bad.
He's like an alligator or something. He's not living. He's eaten by a jaguar. He's never going to find
him. Oh, okay. He's been eaten by animals. Cool. Yes. Yeah, no. I don't understand how all this time, if he's still alive, how they wouldn't have come across him, or there haven't been any leads or hints or anything up to this point. Like I said, I don't know if I just missed something, but I did... look through every article that I could possibly look through to find the information on him, and I could find no further information on him. So he was never arrested, as I said, and if you happen to have any more information on this, you know, let me know, because I don't know. Purchase was charged with theft and damage to national treasures, which carries a 10-year sentence with it. Drug trafficking charges and possession charges, which
he
were
stole 100.
Yeah, yeah, I know, I know, I know. We get into this.
And only got 10 years.
No, we're not done yet. We still gotta add some stuff, figure some stuff out, you know. So, along with that, he had drug trafficking charges and possession charges were filed against Purchase. His brother, Luis. A U.S. citizen named Gary Nathan Chaffee, and an exotic dancer, Isabel Camila Maciero. The charges carry a penalty of up to 25 years.
So more for the drugs.
Yeah.
The possible billions of dollars that you stole with history.
Yeah. Winning.
That's the judicial system, if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, you know, grade A there. Grade A. Superstars. Mm-hmm. Juan Castillo Carrias, Hugo Ricardo Perez, Redia, two friends of Purchase's and Chefe are being charged with cover-up. Alvarez, the attorney general, also identified Christina Gloria Gonzalez as an involved party, and she was to be deported.
So where did the stripper come in?
I don't know, honestly. It just says that she was involved in the cover-up part of it. So it really doesn't tell me what her specific role was. And like I said, I don't know if that's just a lack of information on our end, because this was reported in Mexico, so, you know, a lot of things tend to get lost in translation. So it might have just been something that got left out and they just didn't feel was necessary to include in the... Yeah, that's pretty much, I mean, it has to be that or just, you know, lied for them or something to that effect. So the recovery of the pieces was announced June 12th, 1989. 111 of the items were initially recovered, with the remaining pieces eventually being recovered. I still wasn't sure if all of the pieces had been located. It was not really stated if all 124 pieces had been found. There was a lot of confusion in the amount of pieces that were stolen, the amount of pieces that were recovered, when all of the pieces were recovered, when some of the pieces were recovered. There was a lot of confusion in that.
Was still not there.
Yeah, it just wasn't where it needed to be. It was very confusing to figure out if all of the pieces were recovered. But from a lot of how it looked in the articles, they were trying to say that all of the pieces were found, but I don't know for sure if they even know if all of the pieces were found, honestly.
A couple fakes in there, no one's really going to notice.
Yeah, I have no idea. most of the pieces were able to be located in good condition, aside from the Zapotec mask of the Bat God, Murcielago, which had come apart and needed repair, which kind of sucks because, I mean... Yeah, they were able to repair it, but I mean, it's never the same as how you found it in its original state and condition. You've now tampered with it. It's now not the same as when you found it. It doesn't have that same...
I don't think they should have repaired it.
Well...
It added to the story.
Yeah, but they wanted it all together. I understand. They wanted it fixed. There was a ceremony held in celebration of the artifacts being returned to the museum. The president of Mexico at the time...
This is not how all of this started. When that's throwing a party.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, parties are where it's at, okay? I don't know if you've... Yeah, we're partying. Yeah, we'll be drinking. We'll be having a grand old time. I don't know anything about that. There was a ceremony held in celebration of the artifacts being returned to the museum. The president of Mexico at the time, Carlos Salinas de Gortari, was in attendance. The PJF officers that participated in the investigation were also decorated in a ceremony. They also held a temporary exhibit of the recovered items for several months to highlight the historical importance and the value to the Mexican society. The Mexican government also had an eye opener in the lack of security, surveillance, inventory procedures, and training for the guards on duty. In response to this event, the government allocated 700 million pesos, roughly about $35 million in today's currency, towards electronic alarms and video surveillance. There was also a change implemented in the country's federal penal code, which would have greater penalties for theft of Mexican archaeological heritage. There you
Too
go.
little, too late,
Yeah, you know, that's how it always is. We
guys.
always fix the problem after it's been a problem for far too long. We don't fix it before the bad things happen, you know?
Little
That makes
hindsight.
too much sense.
Oh, this is the thing.
So that is pretty much it for the Mexican case of the Museum of Anthropology.
Moral of the story, don't drink on your job.
Yeah, don't drink on the job. It's a bad thing. But anyways, in regards to the links, I will have all that stuff down in the description below. I will also be posting pictures to the Instagram, so don't forget to check out our Instagram at Crime and Tea for pictures and any more information that I might decide to post on there. Don't forget to follow. If you would feel so inclined to send us a message, you can do so at crimeandteapodcast@gmail.com. And if you would like to give us a donation, please use the Anchor link to do so. Always appreciated, never required. Thanks so very much for joining us on the exciting new chapter of Crime and Tea. With any luck, I'll be sticking around for many years to come. I also wanted to give a big thank you to Morbid, a true crime podcast. The girls over there are lit, and they really inspired me to start my very own true crime podcast. So thanks, ladies. Bye, guys.
Adios.
Ooh.